people. That's hard for me to say. Genuinely love people. I might just say it just a few times. Genuinely love people. So I can get it down, right? And honestly, this year we are on a track to discover what it means to become a fully committed disciple. God began to deal with me several years back on the need for this. And then this last year, as I think it was right after our 21 days of prayer in August, God began to put it in my heart that we're to focus on this year. And so we started a series last month, and we talked about if we're going to be a fully devoted follower and disciple of Christ, then we need to passionately love God. And so we are starting this series that's called Genuinely Love People, because to be a disciple, we need to genuinely love people. And I want to, the text that I want to use is, and I'll probably use it all year long, is our foundational text, is found in Matthew chapter 28. So Matthew 28, we'll start there with verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" And then he goes on and says something interesting. "Therefore, go and make disciples." Notice that it doesn't say go forth and, you know, get disciples born again. No, it says go forth and make disciples. Disciples are made, not born. A disciple is over a process. It's not over just one choice. It starts with a choice, but it is a process over time. But it says go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say this, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and assuredly I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he tells us to make disciples. So here's the thing that God began to deal with me about in my life. And that was this, is that we need to understand that that disciples are, first of all, they're made. So it's not gonna happen automatically. It's not gonna happen by chance. It's something that has to happen intentionally, and it's gonna take time to happen. And then I believe that not only are they made, but I believe that probably there's a number of different people that have not entered into that area of being made a disciple because they think they're already a disciple just because they believed in Jesus Christ. And just because you become a believer in Jesus, you got born again, that doesn't make you a disciple automatically. Disciples are made. And there's qualities and there's traits of a disciple that we need to look at. And I believe one of the quality traits of a disciple is genuinely loving people. And so today, I've entitled today's message, Live Life in the Spirit. I believe that you cannot genuinely love people as a disciple until you're living and walking in the Spirit. And some of us may not even understand that. I hope to articulate it to a way that you can understand it and grasp it today. But I believe that there's far too many people that are trying to do life in ministry, and they're doing it in the flesh, and that's why they're having such a struggle in life. And so we're gonna talk about that this morning. Are you good? But I want to take you to John chapter 13, verse 34, and we'll start there. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Get this. This statement rocked my world a few years back. God's been working in me, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more a little later, but he's been working in my life that to try to help me to come to a place of being the disciple that he wants me to be in regards to love and loving others. It goes on to say in verse 35, "And by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A character trait of a disciple is our genuine love for other people. That's what Jesus was stating here. And so if you're following along with notes, there's notes inside your worship guide. And by the way, if you don't know, at the Welcome Center, there's some three-ring binders that you can be able to keep those notes in, and those binders are free. You can go pick one up. But the first thing that I want to share with you this morning is this, that in the flesh, most people struggle with this quality of love, or have drifted away from loving like a disciple of Jesus. One or the other, there's a lot of people that have struggled in the flesh with even loving, and because you can't do it. You can't love the way that Jesus says that we are to love if we're walking in the flesh. It just cannot happen. And we'll talk about that a little later, okay? So I'm just laying some groundwork, laying a foundation for us to be able to learn and grow from. Now, I'm a teacher, not a preacher. I'm a teacher, so you're going to come and I'm going to provoke your thinking. I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to meddle. I'm going to get in your business. I'm going to do all that type of thing, but it's all to help move you to a place of being a disciple. And the life of a disciple is a life that is a fulfilled life, a satisfied life. You can never be satisfied in the flesh. You'll never have a satisfaction and a fulfillment in the flesh. You cannot ever please the flesh. Do you hear me? You know, one of the things that I've discovered over all of these years of pastoring and ministering is that people that are in the flesh, you'll never be able to help them unless they move out of the flesh into the spirit. And that's one of my responsibilities. And so hopefully I'll be able to help some people today. But one of the things that you're struggling with today, and what you, one of the reasons why you struggle not only today, but why you struggle and have been struggling over your lifetime with your relationships is because you're walking in the flesh. And you're agitated. It's like the inside, you're just agitated. There's a dissatisfaction. And what you try to do is you try to go change things to try to try to satisfy that dissatisfaction inside of you. And you can't change enough things to satisfy that unless you change from walking in the flesh to walking in the spirit. And there's some people that have been there, but they've drifted away. They've gotten away. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. And it says this in verse 1, it says, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. The Passion Translation says it this way, this is why it is critical that we be all the more engaged and attentive to the truths that we have heard, so that we do not drift off course. So with that being said, let me give you this other statement. When it comes to love, I believe that some have unknowingly and unintentionally drifted off course. Drifted off course. My intent today is to help us to get back on course. Or to get on the course that we need to get on. Because I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people that have ended up in places that they never intended to be. And they don't like it. Are you with me? Are you thinking yet? Okay, so let me. I don't have a whole lot of time this morning, so let me just share some thoughts with you. Let's talk about understanding how to genuinely love people. If we're going to genuinely love people, number one, the first thing is we need to understand that love is unnatural. It's unnatural. What do I mean by that? It's unnatural. The natural thing, or the fleshly thing to do, is to be selfish. The natural thing or the fleshly thing is to be selfish. The unnatural thing, or we could say it this way, it's natural in the spirit, but it's, and the reason I use the word unnatural is that more people are walking in the flesh than they are walking in the spirit. I believe that. I believe scripture proves that out speaks that out. And so anyway, so that the natural thing in the spirit is that we walk unselfishly. We walk in love, and love is unselfish according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay? So with that being said, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And we're just going to look at verse 7 here. And out of the Passion Translation. It says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to another, because God is love. Say, God is love. God is love. Now notice here that God says we're to allow that, or we should let that love pour continuously through our lives, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. I love that. Everyone that is fathered by God. The word grace actually means one of the many meanings that come from grace. One of the meanings of grace is to have divine influence in our life. So if God's love is divinely influencing our life, then it ought to be able to be flowing freely through our life into the lives of others. And so when we're fathered by God, when God comes and he touches our life and he begins to, you know, just influence our life, the closer you are to God, the more influenced you're going to be by God. That's why today is important that we come together, so that we can be influenced by God, be fathered by God, so that he could flow through us, so that he could influence through us, so that he could love through us, so that he can impact through us. Love, and we're going to find out today that love is supernatural. Love is super powerful. It will change a life. It was the love of God that changed my life. And it's the love of God that will change your life. But notice here, it says, and I love this, it says, everyone who is fathered by God and experiences they will experience an intimate knowledge of him. Intimate. And I thought about this earlier. Help me out today, okay? Help me out. Because I came with this message with some kind of a fear and trembling in that it's hard to address selfishness. It really is. Because the first thing that we want to do when we talk about living an unselfish life is we put our guard up. And so I'm having to address some things that probably people don't want addressed in their life, because we tend to be selfish. But it leaves us dissatisfied. It's not ever going to take us to a good place. The Bible says that when we walk in the flesh, it leads to death. It kills things around us. But when we walk in the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. It's always going to produce good in our life. So we want this. We need this. Our heart wants it, but our flesh doesn't. The Bible says that the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. So you've got this thing going on, this war going on inside. And even today, as I may bring up some issues in your life, there's going to be a war that's going to take place. Please allow the Spirit to win and not the flesh. Because the flesh is always going to take you a place that you don't want to go. So I thought about this word intimate. And the importance of us keeping our heart connected to God. And one of the ways that we do that is we passionately, as we talked about last month, we passionately pursue God. We love him with all of our heart. And we allow God to have his way, in every area, in however he wants to do it, in and through our lives, that we just let him have his way in our lives. And if we'll do that, then it produces intimacy. When we keep our heart connected to God, Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So we've got to guard our heart. Keep our heart connected to God. Why? Because when our heart is connected to God, it's going to produce intimacy. When our heart is connected to one another, guess what it produces? Intimacy. When there's a disconnect, we cease to be intimate with one another. But when we're connected, then there's an intimacy with one another. That's why it's so important that we love people genuinely with all of our hearts, because God wants us connected intimately with one another. Now, no doubt with spouses, there needs to be a whole nother level of intimacy. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you looking like, you know what I'm talking about, right? So there needs to be a whole nother level of intimacy with our spouses, but God still wants intimacy taking place in our relationships with one another. He wants us connected with one another. Our heart has to stay connected. Not only does intimacy take place, but trust takes place. When there's a disconnect of heart, then you begin to distrust that relationship. You just question that relationship all the time because of that disconnect. That's why we've got to love one another with all of our hearts so that that connection's there, so that we trust one another as we're walking throughout life. Not only is there a intimacy and a trust, but there's also a security when we're connected. When you're connected to someone, you feel secure with that one, right? You feel secure. You feel secure in that relationship. You feel like you can go forward. You're not questioning in that relationship. So we need to be connected with one another. So all that being said, God challenged me several years ago, to love like a disciple. That there's another level of, a whole nother level of loving people that I had not entered into, that I really didn't understand. And he began taking me on this journey on how to love people at that level. He said that love should be so real, so powerful, so obvious that those in this world can actually see it. That it's different than, it's unnatural. It's, you know, it's different. And God began to work in me on that life, in that area. There was a lady that was attending our church, and she was a very generous, probably still is. She doesn't attend here. It's been several years back. And she was just very, very, very generous. And God began to deal with her. She was generous financially, but she wasn't generous with her life. And as she told that story to me, God began to deal with my heart. I was generous in many ways, but I was being stingy in some ways. And I think we can be generous in some ways, but stingy in others. And I'm going to tell you, selfishness in any area of our life is not good for us. And so God began to work in my life to give my life away. Really, I've always had that as a foundational value in my life, that I'm going to live to give my life away, that I'm going to live for you, that I'm going to live to see you be everything that God wants you to be. It's always been my heart. But he's taken me to a whole nother level. He began to talk to me, and he says, you're going to be high relational. Well, I wasn't high relational, so I've been working on that. I still mess up. I still blow it. I still have issues. But I am working on being high relational. Are you with me? And so the first thing that we need to understand about how to genuinely love people is that love is unnatural. The second thing I want you to see just real quick is that love is spiritual. It is spiritual. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, it says, If he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. It should be a way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the faithfulness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we have made our permanent home in him. And his love has brought to its full expression in us. And he has given his spirit within us so that we can have an assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Notice that he ties love to the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that the Holy Spirit has shed abroad his the love of God in our hearts. And so it's spiritual. And I was thinking about this. Love is it is spiritual. It's supernatural. I cannot really truly fully love people unless I'm in the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love, Galatians 5. Honestly, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, it's up here, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control all happen as a result of walking in the Spirit. So if we lack peace, it's probably because we're in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Well, I just don't have peace about that. Well, let's see if you're walking in the Spirit before you discard a relationship or discard that decision or discard that job or discard whatever it is that you're discarding. Let's make sure that you're walking in the Spirit to make sure because God's going to lead you. He's going to lead you in your spirit. He's going to lead you in your heart, to make sure that it's the right decision that you need to make. In the same way with love. Love is spiritual. It is spiritual. I remember God first teaching me this truth. It was after I had gotten born again. I got radically saved. Some of you know my story. I got radically delivered from alcohol, nicotine. I had done, been doing drugs. I never got really addicted to drugs, although I did a lot of drugs in my days. I used to deal drugs. Sorry, Officer Michelle. But anyway, used to deal drugs and so I'm confessing. It was a long time ago. It wasn't yesterday. I tell people all the time, the only difference between those that have been incarcerated and myself is that they got caught and I didn't. Really. But anyhow, I had just gotten saved, and my wife that I was married to at that time, she had fallen away from the Lord. She had been saved, and when I came into the things of God, I got radically saved. And she didn't want that life. And we were young back then. So, I got married when I was 20, and she was a year younger than me. So we were young. And so she wanted to party and that type of thing. And so she went that life. And anyway, long story short, I got custody of my son and was privileged to be able to raise him. And every other week, my son would go with her. And for the weekend, not every other week, but every other weekend, he would go and have a visit with her. And anyway, they brought him back, and it was her and her boyfriend at that time, or live-in. They're married now. But there was a dispute about something. My ex-wife and I were arguing about something, and then he piped up. And it's like, "Bud, this is none of your business. I'll stomp your butt." And then he piped up again. And back then, I was unrefined, okay? I was unrefined. And so I pushed him. And the moment I pushed him, something inside just ripped at me, ate at me, okay? So it didn't accelerate to a fight or anything like that. Brought it to a close, and it just kept eating at me. So I called my pastor. And I said, "Hey, can I talk with you?" And so we set up an appointment. I went and talked with him. I was trying to justify what I was doing. Now, I still believe to this day he should have shut up. It was none of his business. When it's none of your business, none of your business. And so anyway, and my pastor, he looked at me and he corrected me. And he says, "You were wrong." You handled it in the flesh, and you did not handle it in the spirit. And so you're the one that was wrong in this area. And by the way, you may start out in the spirit, and your spouse or whatever relationship you're in, they may be in the flesh and you're in the spirit, and because they're in the flesh, it rubs you wrong and gets you into the flesh. And even though you may be right and they're wrong, if you're in the flesh, they're both wrong. You're both wrong. Does that make sense? And so I was wrong. And so I had to contact this guy, and I said, listen. And I knew, as soon as my pastor said that, I knew. The peace of God just came flooding in my heart. I knew he was right, that he was right, that he was right, and I was wrong. And I contacted him, and I said, listen, I apologize. I was wrong. You were right. I didn't say you shouldn't have said something, although I wanted to. And today I can still say that. But I didn't say it to him. I just said, I was wrong. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. And the way I handled that was not the right way to handle it. Would you please forgive me? And let me tell you, I would not do that if I'm living and walking in the flesh. It was only because I surrendered and I submitted myself to the Holy Spirit. Listen, life is crazy. It's got a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on. If you haven't noticed, man, things are going on. It's just lots happening, like crazy in people's lives. And by the way, you can juggle everything if you're walking in the Spirit. It can be done. But if you're in the flesh, if you become selfish, and when I talk about living in the flesh, I'm talking about being selfish. When you're just self-centered, self-absorbed, just selfish with your life, that's what I'm talking about, the flesh. Being unselfish is saying, God, whatever you want, whatever your desire is. And I know that I'm on a mission here on this earth. Life is short. It's like a vapor. This life is soon to end. And I'm here to reach people. And that's the most important thing. It's not about earning a buck. It's not about having a better car, or bigger house, or better clothes to wear, or whatever. You know, for you that know my wife and I, we don't wear it. We don't drive it. And whatever else, we just don't. I don't care about that stuff. It doesn't matter to me. The thing that matters to me and why my wife and I obsessed about generosity is because we want to impact people's lives. Amen. We want to impact people's lives. So we got all kinds of things going all the time. And so whenever we get into the flesh, that's when we start grinding. That's when we start. And in my lifetime, I have blown. I know this is stupid, this is crazy, and hopefully it's never happened to you, but I have blown 3 engines because they've ran out of oil. You would think I'd learn after the first. But I've blown 3 engines because they ran out of oil. The Holy Spirit is like oil. It is a symbol. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, right? And anytime you're walking in the Spirit, it keeps your life oiled. It's like oil in the engine. It keeps all those pistons, those crank rods. Ladies, you can't help out. Be quiet. Push rod. Oh gosh, don't throw stuff at me. Some of you might know more than I do. Push rods. See, I already felt that pushback. Okay, I got in the flesh for just a second. Please forgive me. I was wrong. All right, let's see how you're going to handle it. You're going to handle it in the spirit or in the flesh? You're going to love me? You're going to forgive me? Okay, you got these push rods going. I know it. So you got all these moving parts in that engine moving. And they are moving fine, and they're working fine, as long as that oil's there. And guess what happens? Everything's firing. Every cylinder is firing. You're firing here. In the same way in your home life, in your church life, in your ministry life, in your work life, in every area of your life, if you're walking in the Spirit, everything's firing. Everything's firing. But you're moving down the road. Everything's going well. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And the same way with love. You can love like crazy. You got to be loving people. We're going to talk about this in this series. We need to love people like crazy because people's lives are weighing in the balance. You got to quit worrying about how people see you. I used to worry about how am I coming over? How am I coming across? Am I saying the right things? Listen, I am going to mess up. There might be times where I didn't mean to say, you know, I just did it a while ago, okay? I said that and I thought, oh my gosh, I already said something that is potentially offensive. I am so sorry. But you know what? I'm just up here just saying, God, use me. Help me. Help me to be used by you to move people forward into the life that you have for them. Amen? It's spiritual. Lastly, love is it's doable. It can be doable by all of us. It's not something that is beyond any of us in this room. Don't you agree? 1 John 4, verse 16 through 19. 1 John 4, 16 through 19, it says, we have come into an intimate experience with God's love. There's that word intimate again. And we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. Notice that, through them. So when we have the love of God, then God's love can live through us. It's doable by all of us. Our love for others is a grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. It's doable by you. It's doable by all of us. I'm here to tell you that God can do it in and through you, that you can love and change lives like anybody else in this room. It's doable. Thank God for it, right? It's doable. And he wants to do that in and through our lives. So what I want to do in closing is I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you, first of all, if you were here earlier, you got to church on time. You're walking in the Spirit. Do you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control? Right? I believe in punctuality. Okay, I'm going to meddle a little. And so if you're always having trouble being on time, check up your spiritual walk. Okay? But anyway, if you were here on time, and you were here during the worship service, I believe that the Lord spoke to us that his presence was here to heal. Amen. And so, you know, you got healed of those hurts, those pains, those things that where you've been abused and misused and all that type of thing. And you're free to love now. So here's the challenge. I'm going to ask you right now, from this point on, for the rest of your life, that you make a commitment. Because it's one of the discipleship traits to love other people. That you would love people unconditionally. Don't put a condition on it. I'll love you if. That's a condition. That you would just love people because God's called you to love people. And that it would be genuine love. That you would love them just with all your heart, that you would reach out to them and just love them. Some may stink. Some may be ugly to you. Some may be unfriendly. They may not respond to you. Don't withhold your love just because they don't respond, because you're putting a condition on it. You love them because you're called to love. God did, he loved us even when we were yet sinners. And we're supposed to allow the love of God. See, let me tell you the difference between human love, and I need to bring this in close, but the difference between human love and God's love. The human love will marry you and divorce you. Marry you one day and divorce you the next. And so this is something that you got to do continuously throughout your life. I shared this at the marriage conference, but I'll share it with you just really quick. I was at a pastor's round table, and the pastor was hosting it. He's a good friend of mine. He was telling the story. I hadn't heard it before. Maybe I had and forgotten it. But his parents, after 49 years, got a divorce. After 49 years, got a divorce. It's not good enough to just do it even for 49 years and then give up. You keep loving as a way of life for the rest of your life, regardless. You just love people. And then I heard this story just recently that there was a couple that got married. They spent $50,000 on their marriage, and their marriage only lasted 3 months, and they divorced. Now, which one's right? Which one's wrong? 49 years. Think of the money that's been spent on each other for 49 years. And then they end it. Now, I've been divorced. Okay, I understand. I understand the whole makeup. So no condemnation on anybody. But just understand this. From this point on, from today on, from the next step that you take, make a decision that you're going to love like crazy. Just think of the impact we can have on our city and around the world. If we truly, truly love people genuinely with all of our hearts, because the love of God will melt people's lives. The Bible says that the love of God will not fail. Love of God is what transformed my life. It's the love of God that will transform your life and that will transform our city, that will transform anything if we'll just allow the love of God to live through us. And don't worry about you. The love of God is not, it's not self-seeking. It's not about you. Well, what are they going to think about me? It's not about you. You love people because it's the right thing to do. You just love people. I don't always say the right things. I don't always do the right things. There's times where the compassion of God will just rise up on me, in me, and I don't know what to do. And I'll just reach out to somebody and I'll just say, hey, I just called to tell you, or I just, you know, however it was, I just called to tell you I love you. And I'll just wait and see if there's more that God wants to say through me. And it isn't about me. It's about others. And if you'll do that, I believe we can transform a world. I believe that we can. God's called us to make a huge impact. He's called us, no doubt. Part of our vision is to grow a life-giving church, and we are here to grow. But let me tell you why we're here to grow. We're here to grow not because of numbers. Numbers are important because people are important. But we're here to grow because we are to give our lives for others. Because it's all about people. It's because people need us. Pastor Bobby said that earlier in his exhortation. People need us. Amen? So let's pray.